Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you for taking us to the table, to the cross, to the grave and beyond. Amen. Amen. What a blessing to be here and to share together on this resurrection morning. How thankful we are. You know, Easter is about a lot of things. And one thing Easter is about is hope. Easter is about hope. You know, the women, as they came to the tomb that morning, they didn't have hope. They were really without hope. They were hopeless. They came out of love and appreciation to bring those spices, hopefully to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus, if they could figure out a way to get that big heavy stone away from the opening to the tomb where the body of their beloved Rabbi Jesus had been laid. I want to just look very briefly at one verse in 1 Corinthians 15. If you have your Bible, I'd love for you to turn there and look at it with me. If not, you can just listen because it's a brief verse. 1 Corinthians 15 is a beautiful chapter regarding resurrection. How fitting as we think of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And as we reflect upon the truth that any true resurrection is based upon the fact that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and in this lengthy portion on resurrection, we just want to focus our attention on one verse. It's verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. And Paul, by the Spirit of God, makes this declaration. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. I'd like to ask you this morning, in what or in whom is your hope? Hope is about the future. Hope looks at the present and maybe even reflects upon the past, but hope is about the future. And what is going to occur in the future? Hope is all about things being better, getting better, improving, being the best. In whom or in what is your ultimate hope? You know, there are a group of people around the world today, and many of them gathered in this room, or a few of them gathered in this room, I guess I should say, compared to the whole world, but who have chosen to place our hope in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, and he opened up and addressed that young man, and he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Paul was saying, you know what? My hope is in the Lord Jesus. Timothy, your hope is in the Lord Jesus. There are others there in that small area of the world at that time and today and all around the world today whose hope ultimately is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have chosen to follow Him, those who have chosen to say, yes, He is the one in whom I depend. And it's all about Him, and all that I have hoping for the future, it's all dependent upon the Lord Jesus. Hope in Christ. But you notice as Paul writes here, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. One thing that tells me is that if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, you do have hope in this life. You can bring it down and focus it upon your life here and say, you know what? I have a hope that because of the Lord Jesus, in this life, things can get better. You know, yesterday I woke up and I felt terrible. I felt terrible. I stayed up for a little while and I didn't feel any better. I stayed in the bed all day. And you know what? I had a hope. I had a hope that I was going to wake up this morning and I was going to feel better. Praise God. That hope came. And that's in this life. In this life, we have hope in the Lord Jesus. You may have lost someone very dear to you since last Easter. You may have run into some financial difficulties even recently. You may have experienced deep disappointment. You may even have had persecution come at you because of your stand for the Lord Jesus. You may be suffering heartache even this morning as we gather here. You may be hoping that somehow in this life, your little part of the world will get better. You may hope that somehow society will improve during your lifetime. You may have great desires that the economy will turn around, that the political situation and the government of your nation and the nations of the world will improve. And we have hope in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1:3, as Paul addresses the believers there in Thessalonica in his opening statements, he speaks of the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have hope in this life and we have patience. That means we endure. We go through today hoping that tomorrow maybe will be better in this life. In this life. But you know what Paul says? If the only hope we have in Jesus Christ is for this life, then we're to be pitied more than anyone else. Oh, why would that be? Because if you're truly seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are forfeiting so much of what this world offers. You are giving up many of the pleasures that this world says can be yours for the taking. You very likely are forfeiting many of the possessions that could be yours. If you didn't have a burden from the Lord Jesus to turn and take some or even much or even most of what God has given you materially and sought to invest that in His work and in the lives of others, that could be yours. But you've chosen possibly to give that up. Maybe even the prestige that could be yours if rather than taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you chose to stand for yourself. But you know what? In following the Lord Jesus, we choose to give that up. We may not understand that at the moment we receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, but as we begin to study the Word of God and we begin to understand more and more of what it means to follow Him, we realize that if our hope is only in this life, then we're to be pitied more than anyone else is to be pitied. Because not only are we giving up what this world offers, but there's nothing beyond that. That's sad. That's tragic. That's to be pitied. We're of all people most miserable. But you see that if that Paul started that verse with. If in this life. That's an if that is blown to bits with the rest of this chapter. If we had time to look at all 58 verses, we would see very clearly that that little if has been shattered by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, verse 20 says this, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." You see, it's not a what if, or a maybe. No, it's a sure thing. The Lord Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And therefore, those who seek to follow Him, those who seek to come to Him for salvation, are gaining not only the hope in this life that things will get better, but the definite, confident expectation that after death comes resurrection. It's not just about this life. And I hope that if Satan has twisted your mind and blinded your eyes to make you think that it's all about what is happening here and making things better here, no, that's not what it's ultimately about. Yes, I want my life to impact the lives of others. I want my life to impact society. Yes, I want to make an imprint on this world, not for me, but for the Lord Jesus. I want things to be better here. But that's not ultimately what we're waiting for. No, this body, it may feel better this morning, but it's going to feel worse. It's going to get more sick. And likely one day this body is going to die. I'm going to have disappointment. I'm going to lose more loved ones. I'm going to have more problems in life, and things are not ultimately going to get better. And according to God's Word, society ultimately is on a downhill track. Things are getting worse. But I'm not living for this world. Now, I'm not living for this life. I'm investing this life for eternity. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope not only in this life. Praise God, we do have hope in this life. But it's not only in this life. No, it's much more than that. It's beyond this life, because you see, we have been born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And one day, all who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and have placed their faith and hope in Him, we have the assurance that one day these bodies which are deteriorating, these bodies which are getting weaker and weaker every day, are going to be raised again. And we're going to have a resurrected condition. This body one day is going to be made like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be raised out of the grave. And there's going to be a resurrected context for this body too. You know, if I died and my body could be resurrected tomorrow, that would be great. But you know, it would still be in a world which is marred by sin. But you see, our resurrection ultimately is going to be into a resurrected context, a new context for our bodies. We read in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ of the new heavens and the new earth. We read about a new Jerusalem. We see the context of a world which is going to be perfect and fit for our resurrection bodies, and our resurrection bodies are going to be fit for that context. And in Revelation 21 verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "Behold, I make all things new." I make all things new. What a hope. And you see, the hope beyond this life comes back and it boomerangs back to impact my life now. I have more hope in this life because of my hope beyond the grave, because of resurrection, because that the Lord Jesus Christ is in me. Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Ephesians 2:12 speaks of those, and maybe some in this room this morning, who are without Christ. Without Christ and without God in the world. And many people today are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but in reality they don't have Christ. It's not for me to judge who those are and who those aren't. But there is plenty of testimonies even within this room today, if we had time. So many could stand up and say, "I at once was celebrating Easter, but I didn't have Christ. I thought I did. I thought I was following the Lord Jesus. I thought I knew God, but then I realized, no, I don't understand in reality." If you're still here in 1 Corinthians, just look back up very quickly to the beginning of the chapter, particularly verses 3, 4, and 5. I go often back to this because in verse 1, Paul says, "This is the gospel. This is the good news." Notice verse 3, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Christ did die. He took on a human body. He became a human being. He was conceived miraculously in the womb of Mary the Virgin. For 9 months, He grew in her womb, and then He came into this world and grew up as a little baby, a little boy, an adolescent, a young man, a man. And during those 33 years of life, He never sinned. And so when he died, he was not dying for his sins, but we read here that he died for our sins. Because the wages of sin is death, and we've all sinned. And if we don't recognize our sin, then we're even blinder than what I mentioned earlier. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried. He was buried. The choir sang of that. We've thought about that. He was put in that borrowed tomb, and that stone was rolled in front of that door, and they assumed that was the end. Maybe they could get in to put some spices on the body, but in their minds that body would deteriorate. But it was not to be. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, quoting from Psalm 16, of the Lord Jesus, that his flesh also will rest in hope. And the body of the Lord Jesus was placed in that grave, and it was not just a hope for this life. It was a hope for resurrection. And truly, he raised himself from the dead. The Holy Spirit was involved in his resurrection. The Father raised his body back to life. He's alive. That's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen by over 500 people, eyewitnesses, many of whom died for their faith. Because they wouldn't deny that they saw him. What they knew they saw, what they experienced, the one they touched, the one they heard, as well as saw. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And what is your hope this morning? And what is your hope for this life? And what is your hope for eternity? The Lord Jesus offers himself freely, reaching out his hands, not from a cross, but reaching down his hands from the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high. It says, believe on me. Receive me as your Savior. And I will make you new. You don't even have to wait till you get to heaven. He says, all things will become new for those who are in Christ. You're a new creation. It's going to get better. I've been made new in Christ, but I still have hope beyond this life. But what a blessing to know the Lord Jesus in this life. And what is your hope? Can I ask you that one more time this morning as we close? And what is your hope? In whom is your hope? The Lord Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are loaded down, and I will give you rest. We're going to close in prayer. I'll be outside by the front door. I'd love to talk with you. I know there are many here who would love to talk with you, that you can be sure that you have true hope, not a false hope. Not a false hope. Remember, God said they were without Christ and without hope. They thought they had hope. They didn't have true hope. Is your hope in the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the great privilege of coming to hear your word proclaimed, Father, in music and in prayer, and Father, in reading. And Father, we just pray this morning as we leave this place that any here that have never received the Lord Jesus, as they have reflected on the songs that have been sung, Father, if they have heard your word that's been read and proclaimed, Father, I pray that you will speak to hearts as only you can do, because you love us so dearly that you would give your own Son. And Father, we thank you that his body rested in hope in that grave, and that he burst forth in victorious glory. And Father, those of us who know you, thank you for the hope that we have not only in this life, but the confident expectation of being with you forever in that beautiful context of perfection. Father, for any here who do not know your Son as Savior, may this be the day that they are new creations in Christ by faith, not of works, but Father, receiving the gift of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Happy resurrection.